There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you here. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. And you do it through the phone lines, text line, and actually a couple of different platforms, 343-0106. So that's the phone number. That's the text line. In addition, you can hit us up Twitter at FM Talk 106.5, Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, Instagram, just search for FM Talk 106.5. So multiple platforms plus the good old fashioned email, or if you want to send a passenger pigeon or a carrier pigeon or the extinct passenger pigeon, whichever. You get them back from extinction and then send them. And send them with a message, carrier pigeon, that's fine as well. Coming up on today's show, we will get back into the subject that has driven all the national shows today and so much of the discussion about President Trump and the recording and Cohen and all that. We'll talk about that with Jeff Poore and why Jeff surmises that it doesn't account to a hill of beans. Politically, for Donald Trump, it doesn't account for anything. It will not move the needle. We'll talk about that and get into that with him coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Also on the way, an update on some state politics. Walt Maddox has called out Governor Ivey to debate him in a series of debates. Governor Ivey's not going to do that, but we'll run through that story as well coming up. And also, ALDOT updating folks on the I-10 Bayway Bridge project. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a few. But I do want to set up a couple things here and get to our big story for this hour, and that is it's National Hire a Veteran Day. And we're talking about that coming up in just a little bit with Cal Walters from the Scuttlebutt Network. Of course, you hear him Wednesday nights here on FM Talk 106.5, but he's going to join us during the midday show. He's a Marine, a veteran, and somebody who spends his time looking at veterans' issues. We'll talk with him in just about 6 minutes about what's going on here on the Gulf Coast for job opportunities for veterans and employers looking for veterans. And also, Dalton, I don't know if you saw it, it's finally happened. We bounced this story around. It was going to be a maybe thing that... Necco wafers. I've always said Necco wafers. I don't know what the proper pronunciation is. I say Necco wafers. You may say Necco wafers. I do like that chalky-like candy. You know, once or twice a year, I'm going to eat some candy. That would be something I would eat. Well, no more. Necco wafers and Sweethearts. The other, you know, they're like, you know, the Sweetheart things you used to give at Valentine's Day? Story coming out of the Associated Press out of Revere, Massachusetts. Said the owner of the company that makes candies such as Necco wafers and Sweethearts has unexpectedly shut down operations at its plant. Boston Globe reporting Roundhill Investments announced yesterday it was selling Necco brands to another confection manufacturer and closing down its Revere plant. Company had recently purchased Necco wafers for $17.3 million at a bankruptcy auction. Roundhill did not identify Necco's new owner or say if the candy production will resume. Now, I thought they were having... I thought Necco wafers were having, like, a resurgence. I thought it was, like, a hip thing to do again. But... So, I don't know. You go... I know there's going to be a run. The gas station I stop at that has them. I'm sure the boxes are empty already with this news. If you see shortages, you see empty shelves of Necco wafers out there, maybe snap a picture, send it to the text line so we can help create some kind of sense of urgency and drama out there. For candy being off the shelves. All right. What about this? We mentioned it this morning. Today, like, listen, every day of the year is National Something Day, right? And sometimes it's multiple things on a given day. And often there is silly or fun things just to talk about. Today's, I think, the most significant I've seen this year. That's National Hire a Veteran Day. And not only because I personally think it's important, but also you look around our area, meaning Southwest Alabama, Northwest Florida, Southeast Mississippi, the number of veterans in our area is huge. It's huge. And the veterans can be from young veterans to old veterans, and obviously all in between. And there's a group out there, there's several groups out there, actually more than that, working year-round to help veterans get jobs. But there's one group in particular that's kind of spearheaded what's going on today. It's called Hire Our Heroes, okay? And on this National Hire a Veteran Day, they are putting together a virtual career fair, job fair event. So how this works is they're looking for military personnel, as they say here around the world, military personnel serve to protect our freedom. While they're doing so, provide their returning brothers and sisters with opportunities to pursue a career in the civilian world. Looking to find qualified candidates for a range of fields from information technology, engineering, cybersecurity, sales, marketing, management, finance, healthcare, skilled trades, and a whole lot more. So what is happening today, and this is, I'm going to give you the link. Actually, we put the link up on the Facebook page this morning. You can also grab it from my Twitter feed at FM Talk 1065. So starting at starting about 11 o'clock our time, it goes through 2 o'clock this afternoon. And then again, so it goes till 2 this afternoon. It's already on this online job career fair. Here's how it works. They have interested companies online. These are companies that have already said they're interested in hiring veterans, and they're going to be on there. And then the veterans, you get on, and the Hire Our Heroes folks, and the link is on our website. I mean, I can give you the link, but easier just to go to the Facebook page or the Twitter feed. But I'll give you the address in just a second. So you go on there as a veteran, you answer a few questions, and then the companies are going to be matched with you, okay? So the companies are there already waiting. You can go to targetedjobfairs.com/July-25-2018, or even easier, go to hireourheroes.com. Hireourheroes.com. You go there, and you can just click through that link, and it'll take you into the in the virtual career fair going on. When you go, you'll see it. There's a little sign-in page. You click the link there. And it will take you there. So and when we come back from the break, I want to talk about this here, not just on this day of National Hire a Veteran Day, but year-round. What do veterans bring to the market? What challenges do veterans have getting into the civilian workforce? And what can we do as a community to make it better for them? So we'll talk about that with Cal Walters coming up in just a little bit. And also, we will get you, somebody said, what about the Bayway update. Listen, the new number, I'll just say this, and we'll get to the story later on in the show, but the new number, am I going to take a victory lap? Remember when the project was $800 million? Remember when they said the project was $800 million? And I said, come on. Lord knows, I'm not the only one that said that, but I said, come on, we're not going to get this thing done for $800 million. The new number that was rolled out at this presser, the new number, $2 billion. Now, granted, in fairness, that includes the 6-lane bridge and the Bayway being completely replaced at 10 feet higher than it is now, but $800 million project we were talking about years ago is now at $2 billion. And you know what, I'll roll the dice. I'm playing with house money here. I'm going to tell you it's going to be more than $2 billion. Might be $3 billion. I mean, what's a billion amongst friends, right? Coming back, Cal joins us, and we're talking veterans issues right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220, FM Talk 106.5 online, fmtalk1065.com. Also, check out the podcast by going to the website, fmtalk1065.com. You just click the button that says, oddly enough, podcast, where we have them hiding in plain sight. All right, I mentioned this morning and then in just a few minutes ago as well. Today, one of the worth noting, National something day, right? This every day of the year is National Something Day, and often it's something that is really kind of disposable or flippant or just fun to talk. You know, it's National Buttered Popcorn Day or whatever. And when I saw the list come up with this one, I said, well, there's something pretty valid, and it's worth some bigger discussion. It's National Hire a Veteran Day, and we are so very lucky to have the Scuttlebutt Radio Network on here at FM Talk 106.5, 8 o'clock every Wednesday night with Tom Claxton and this man right here, Cal Walters, talking about veterans issues and doing it from a veteran's perspective. Thanks for being on.
Sean, thanks for having me. It's great to talk about something like hiring our heroes, our veterans that are back and are continuing to serve in their communities and looking to find jobs.
Are we doing it as a community? And I guess you can judge locally, and then if you want to judge nationally, are we doing a good job at that?
Well, if you look at the statistics, the latest unemployment numbers for veterans are pretty impressive, Sean. We are down from 3.7%, which was the percent of unemployment for veterans in 2017. We're now, the June rate was 3.3%. You know, and when you look at most economists will say, well, you know, you're at full employment somewhere in that 4%. Then we seem to be doing pretty well, at least for the veterans that are in the workforce.
Right, and but there's going to be new people entering, like there is from every sector, new folks entering the workforce in whatever capacity. This would be in a veteran's capacity, and I wonder if we've done a, do you think we've done a good job of setting up systems that right now, with such a robust economy, people are hired, but do we have systems in place or at least relationships in place that, hey, when cycles do what they do and they cycle to a tough economy, is there a path there for our veterans?
I definitely think there are. You have a number of groups, such as the Alabama Career Center, Donald Ciotat and his group there that we talk with on a regular basis. They actively pursue veterans and to try to place them in specific career fields. And of course, you have local veterans organizations that are always working with local businesses to be able to assist in trying to place veterans. Tom and I will receive calls on a regular basis for veterans who might be looking for employment or employers who are looking to hire veterans. So the awareness is out there. You know, the National Hire a Veteran Day is actually was established by a group called Hire Our Heroes. And so they've thrown that on the calendar, started it last year. It is recognized on the National Day Calendar list. And it's really there to highlight the need to continue to actively pursue hiring our veterans, as you said. You know, even though with the latest budgets, we are looking to probably increase the size of our military, which means we might not be separate as many of our service members as we did during the prior few years. There's always going to be just the simple attrition of people leaving the military after their contract is up. And so they're out there looking for jobs, and they want to find high-quality jobs. And I think we are towards, especially here in the South Alabama area.
But, you know, I think about it almost with hiring veterans as, I don't know, what do they call it? Within the used vehicle market, they have the guarantee or whatever they have, you know, the so-and-so vehicle where the company
certified
is certified. Yeah, certified. There you go, certified. And I think about the same thing, you know, obviously, even though y'all as Marines kind of dominate our staff around here, we do have all branches and family here with FM Talk 106.5. But I think about this that from whatever branch, you have a certain skill set, whatever, and there's specialized skill sets, but there's also the skill set that is, I hear people complain about all the time, that's lacking in others, is built in with folks out of the armed forces. And that, you know, the responsibility, punctuality, the getting to work, getting things done. But you almost have somebody coming in that, you know, they've got all that. Okay, so can we just get to work?
That is true. Most employers, they may not be able to figure out what exactly your job was in the military and how maybe, you know, being a rifleman or an artillery relates to their specific job posting. or position, but they do know you come with the characteristics of leadership and responsibility, knowing how to work as a team, but also how to work as an individual. Those characteristics into the workplace, and most of that.
We're having a little trouble hearing you there on the phone. There we go. Maybe the signal will get a little better there. And talking to Cal Walters, of course, you'll be able to hear him tonight, Scuttlebutt Network, at 8 o'clock, and talk about this National Hire a Veteran Day and the Hire Our Heroes place. But, yeah, and I may have gotten myself in trouble, Cal, saying, you know, the certified new car, but I mean, certified used car, but I mean, that's it is. I mean, you come in with a certain, people already know that you can do these things. These things are built in.
Right. There are certain skills that you are going to bring to the table that employers are looking for, and they may not find it in the general population. They know that that veteran has had the experience in the military and that they come with those tools, and they'll bring those to the job on day one.
And that, I mean, that. And listen, I talk to more people seriously that just tell me things like, I can teach them whatever widget job they have. I can teach anybody to do what we do around here. I just need people that are leaders, responsible, show up, and work. You know, that's, I mean, I hear that from so many people.
Well, and I hear it as well. And probably one of the biggest is just showing up. I've heard stories of folks who, walk into their job because the job market is so tight right now. That they'll walk into their job, they'll quit without any notice, or not show up and not even tell their employer that they're quitting because they moved on to something else. And that's not what you're going to get with somebody who is a veteran.
What about folks listening to us now? It is. The situation is good for veterans and jobs like it is for civilians, but if people need a resource here, maybe they have somebody who is not working or wants to see what opportunities are out there. Of course, we're talking about what's going on nationally and this virtual career fair going on today. But what about right here? What about Southwest Alabama, Northwest Florida, Southeast Mississippi?
One of the best resources that you have, especially in Southwest Alabama, and really throughout the state of Alabama, is the Alabama Career Centers. They are doing a phenomenal job of placing veterans in jobs and finding employers who are looking to hire veterans. And so you have folks working on both sides of the angle or the aisle for you there. And they're active.
Very good. And, of course, let me give you a plug, and then you could jump in on it. They could also check out Scuttlebutt Network Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock, right? And y'all can help them there.
Absolutely. as I said, we normally have Donald Ciotat with us quite often, and he's at the center. They're always giving tips and advice in their job search.
Great stuff. Cal, thanks for your time. We'll be checking out the show tonight. And as always, man, thanks for being part of this radio station. Thanks for your service to our country.
Yes.
All right, man. Cal Walters, check it in. Yeah, check him out tonight along with Tom Claxton like they do every Wednesday night for the Scuttlebutt Radio Network. All right, 1228. We'll grab some calls on this as well. And let me do this. Let's go to one here before the break. Les is in Mobile. Hey, Les.
Hey. Listen, I just wanted to, earlier you said some of the things that are going on in Mobile, and two things are in our area. The state of Alabama, I'm with an association called the NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business, and we help push through some lead some legislation that gives tax credits for hiring veterans for small businesses. I don't know how
really
this would work for big. Yeah, and that happened about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And if people want details on that, can't find anywhere else, they can contact the NFIB of Alabama and just ask them about it. They've got information on it. And you may have seen the stickers. They have the little veteran stickers.
Sure, with the Minuteman on it, right? It has the Minuteman.
We did that promotion, too. And then the second thing is, this just happened last week, is the School of Computing at South Alabama was recognized as, I think, the 13th best deal in America for veterans, that want to retrain. You know, they have veteran benefits. A lot of them go to school before they change careers.
Right.
And the 13th best deal in computing, or something like that, I read it, was the University of South Alabama, right here at the School of Computing. So those are two things that are unique to our area or special to our area.
I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, because there are so many veterans here from Southwest Alabama, Northwest Florida, Southeast Mississippi. I don't want to get the number wrong, but I think I'm accurate, and I think I'm going to be accurate on the low side. I was told by Tom Claxton and Cal Walters from Scuttlebutt that we're looking at over 100,000 veterans in just our area.
Oh yeah, yeah. I have no doubt. And we get them from as far away as Eglin. Well, we get them further away than mm-hmm. that. But I mean, there's a lot of bases around here, and these people, they get out, and a lot of them have learned new things that they're interested in. And we're getting a lot of activity around Mobile for that. And Mobile's a big pro-veteran place. So this is a good place for veterans to come, and they're good hires. You know, they
that
like
is for
they,
sure.
They know how to work, and they're ready to work.
And, you know, although the Marine Corps veterans are seeming to take over here at work, we do have family connections to Army and Air Force and Coast Guard around here as well in the Navy, for sure. Les, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Thanks for what y'all are doing with the NFIB. That's awesome. If you got questions, too, I mean, I can do my part here to try to put people together, be a matchmaker. You have somebody that has opportunities for veterans. We have a lot of veterans listening to the show as well, and we can try to put groups together, not just on this day, but on every day. All right, coming right back. News break is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Dr. Bill saying hi today, 93 degrees? Well, that's what we're looking at our studios. And not bad, a little bit drier air in the mix, although he says, don't worry, the real heavy-duty humidity back here by the weekend. So just enjoy it for now. Speaking of enjoying things, heads up about Goldfingers, my friends over at Goldfingers, two locations. I do need to go to the Saraland location. It's very the Dolphin Street location, very close to us. Goldfinger's founder, Bill Dorminey, opened his first store. Now, we got two in our area now, but first store opened back in 2009 in Dothan. It was a hit from day one, and they've been voted the best chicken tenders in Dothan for years and years and years. Now there are six stores across Alabama, two of those right here in our area. Their tenders, their wings are actually made fresh every day, so they're not pulling them out of the freezer. You can get them fried, you can get them grilled, and the chicken is fresh, so it tastes fresh like chicken's supposed to taste. And I talk about those grilled tenders. You know, it's hard to hide if you're not using the right chicken when you do the grilling. And that's why I think it's a great testament how great the grilled tenders are as well. Plus, they're a little bit healthier, right? And I talk about the chicken fingers. I've talked about the chicken wings, but I don't want to leave out all the other things on the menu. Chicken sliders, quarter-pound hamburgers, got a great BLT. Their buffalo chicken sandwiches. Also, their chicken salads are piled high with chopped, grilled, or fried chicken. And also, they have their pineapple chicken wrap. And for sides, wow, they got the sides. Saratoga chips, crinkle-cut fries, sweet potato fries, baked potato cheese stick, coleslaw, potato salad, onion rings, toast. Also, their corn nuggets, they're like candy. These things are so good. They're fried buttery corn, and yet they are addictive. That's why it's good to go ahead and just get the medium, or maybe even get the large, and then go get away from the counter, because you'll order more. And they are so very, very good. And if you want to go online, see what I'm talking about, maybe check out the menu before you go. It's easy, goldfingers.com. Or if you want to order ahead, you can use that Goldfingers app as well on your phone. They get into big trays. You're doing a party for the office, or maybe just a family getting together on a Friday night. They've got you covered. That is Goldfingers, location right there on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65 and in Saraland. All right, I wanted to get a couple more questions here coming in on this on the National Hire a Veteran Day, and these folks over at Hire Our Heroes are doing this every day. So while today is that virtual career fair going on online, you can get with these people at Hire Our Heroes, or you could check out more information like tonight on the Scuttlebutt Network with Tom and Cal, and this is going on year round. So while today is a day to probably bring attention to it, it's something that they're doing, you know, all the time. So you got questions down the road. Hopefully we can help you with that information. And I have a story that kind of goes with this. Thought this was interesting as we're talking about stories about the military. And Dalton, maybe I'll leave this up on the screen maybe when Pete Rehm comes in. Of course, Pete from the Navy side of things when he comes in on Thursday night. Maybe we can get an answer here, what he thinks. The new push here, at least there's a hashtag out there for it. We want beards. That's a hashtag that they say has been shared thousands of times out there. And what this is all about is a push for beards to be allowed for sailors. Okay, here's how the story goes down this way. NBC Washington put this up. It said, now that women in the Navy can wear ponytails, men want beards. The Navy said last week that service women could sport ponytails, lock hairstyles, twist, and wider hair buns, reversing a policy that long forbade females from letting their hair down. Servicemen immediately chimed in on social media, asking the Navy if they now could grow beards. Beards were, and this is, I didn't know the history of this. Because you go back, you think, you see something, I don't know, if I'm picturing something in my head, pictures from World War II and from Vietnam with sailors with beards, but it says beards were not actually banned for the Navy till 1984. So I guess before that, the men could have beards. Navy said they wanted a professional-looking sailor who could wear a firefighting mask and breathing apparatus without interference. Okay, so there's a pragmatic reason. So they said that ban went through in 84. The Navy is saying that's still the case. But, for example, Travis Rader, 29-year-old Naval Physical Security Officer, said allowing beards would boost morale for men just like allowing ponytails for women. He said there are two things that would make Navy men happy, beards and better boots. Said Rader said he had a 6-inch long beard when he joined the Navy after high school. He said you take something away from somebody and they want it more. Rader, a master at arms assigned to Tinker Air Force Base in Oklahoma City. Navy announced it was adding grooming options for women during a Facebook Live event. And it said many black women had asked the Navy to be more inclusive of different hair textures. The Navy had standards in place because of safety concerns and to ensure everyone maintained a uniform professional look. Rader was one of several sailors who wrote in the comment sections on the Facebook Live event to press the Navy to allow them to grow beards. Bill Williams, 20-year-old Naval Information Systems technician, commented too, asking why sailors can't have beards if bearded civilian firefighters wear masks. A pretty solid question. I don't know. Do they do that? I guess so. Williams says he thinks a nice, well-groomed beard looks very professional. Now, of course, there you go into the subjective, right? Like, it's going to be like, what's well-groomed, what's not? But yeah, sailors can get permission now to grow a beard for religious reasons with the Navy, or if they have a skin condition that's irritated by shaving. Mustaches are allowed as long as they are trimmed and neat. Love to get into this from a Navy spokesperson. Handlebar mustaches, goatees, beards, or eccentricities are not permitted. Picture eccentricities. Safety continues to be primary concern. According to the Navy Chief of Naval Personnel, he referenced a 2016 study by the Naval Safety Center, which concluded that facial hair affects the proper fit and performance of respirators. So there you go. The sailors are saying, the men in the Navy are saying, hey, if the ladies can have ponytails, then we need to get our beards in on the mix. So there you go. That's just another follow-up story. And I mentioned I'd give you a little more information about the Bayway Bridge Project. Here we go. Bayway Bridge Project, this the story from KRG, our news partners, said the Bayway Bridge Project's full steam ahead, but it still will be years before motorists get any relief from the chokehold that that section of Interstate 10 has on the I-10 corridor. Well, wait a second. I think we were told that 2019 they would start work. I think that's what the story says. It will be at least 2025 before the Bayway Bridge Project is finished, but the project manager says it continues to progress. Speaking at a chamber event in Foley, project director Matt Erickson says the price tag for the project now stands at $2 billion and will include a 6-lane bridge, and the Bayway will be completely replaced and 10 feet higher than it is now. Oh, which, by the way, that I guess that loses me an argument I had with somebody the other day. Not really an argument. I just said I think they're going to use the infrastructure they have on the Bayway. Obviously not. Once the project is finished, there's going to be, of course, a toll system in place that should be in the $3 to $6 range per trip. Yikes. But there won't be a toll booth. They say transponders and pay-by-plate system will most likely be used. Erickson says the biggest issue continues to be funding. Now, that could happen when it's a $2 billion project. It says ALDOT is committed. It's a large project. There's a lot of processes that we have to continue to move forward, including the environmental, the procurement, and we have a short list of the three different teams of developers, and we're having a lot of good interaction with them. ALDOT is committed to staying on schedule. Construction should start on the project as early as 2020, according to Erickson and that presser last night. So there you go, $2 billion, and then I know what got your attention. I just know what got your attention. I don't even have to look at the text line. Don't even have to look down the phone lines, which you can hop on, 343-0106, 343-0106. $3 to $6 toll. Now, you know, I've come back from Florida a couple times and given you stories of the tolling and what you pay for example, like the Florida Turnpike and how it's like $18. I think it's $18 if you run the length of it. And I make that decision when we're going to South Florida because it's worth my time to pay that money. But that's something I do a couple times a year. Day in, day out, if you're going to use the bridge, I mean, $3 to $6 is a big, big range. I mean, obviously, you're saying it's just $3, but it's 100% more. And that could really add up. I don't know. What do you think about that? According to this press conference last night, this event in Foley, they say the toll system in place should be there and be in the $3 to $6 range per trip. Maybe that means it's $1.50 over, $1.50 back, or $3 over, $3 back. Would you use that to avoid? I don't know. I mean, if the traffic is backed up to Michigan, I think there's people who pay more than $6 to avoid that. How about you? 343-0106. We're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Come right to the phones, but I do have to, this is the tough thing. So many texts coming in when you're talking. It's just one of you. It's tough to keep up with them, but these are some great ones. First of all, Chester, very hard-hitting analysis here on the bearded sailor story. Chester points out, and children of the 80s, at least boys of the 80s, you'll know what I'm talking about, Shipwreck. On G.I. Joe, he had a beard. Good point. Good point, Chester. But of course, that would have been before the beard ban. This one here from Ben said, we had beards in the 70s and 80s. Some were well-kept, but most were scraggly and unkempt. Old salts would argue pro and con about this all day, as well as why women can have long hair, or why women can have long hair and men can't. And this is from a Master Chief, U.S. Navy. Let's see here. Matt says on the fire side here, he said, I can't speak for all the fire departments in the North and East Coast, but in Mobile, you cannot have a beard, plain and simple, especially when being on the fire suppression side of things. Okay, so that goes back to the mask thing. Eric says police departments have same policy, no beards, but can have a mustache, which is dumb. Facial hair is facial hair. Yeah, a lot of comments. But Chester, yes, I did think about, you know, when I read your text, I pictured Shipwreck from G.I. Joe all those years ago. All right, let's go to the phones. And David in Mobile, first up. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean. How you doing today?
Doing good, man. I'm just picturing old G.I. Joe action figures. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, the rest of your day is taken up then, isn't it?
It's funny, yes.
Anyway, I want to talk about the tolls on the Bayway.
Okay.
If they really are going to be, you know, fixing the whole problem with, you know, 8-lane in the Bayway and raising it up 10 feet and doing the bridge and all that stuff, that's $2 billion is not a bad cost. But I'm with you. I'm skeptical. I don't think it's going to stay at $2 billion. And I further don't think that they're going to keep the Causeway and the Bankhead Tunnel and the Cochran Bridge a free option. Because, Sean, let me ask you, you're a business owner. If you were going to invest $2 billion in a bridge project, would you really want a free option that close to your pay option?
I wouldn't want it, but would I consider it in the fact that, you know, what they're going to say behind closed doors, you know this, David, it's going to be, hey, listen, this is not going to get the local people, but it's like lodging tax, right? It's going to get all those people who don't know any better. Those people from out of town, that's where the money's going to come from. They're going to be coming through. They don't know any better. They're used to paying tolls elsewhere, and they'll pay through the nose for it.
Yeah, and then that will be, that would be fine unless they come out and say, because, right now they're saying it's just going to be the Bayway and the Wallace Tunnel and the new bridge that will be tolled. The Bayway, the Causeway, the Bankhead Tunnel, and the Cochrane Bridge will remain free. Well, if that's the case, that's fine, because I have a free option. I can go around and not have to pay the toll, because I cross the Bayway every day for work, at least twice, and usually it's 3 to 5 times. So that's going to, that would take a major hit in my pocketbook.
Wait. How many times a day on average?
On average, 3 to 5 times a day with my work, because I'm a delivery courier, and so I'm constantly going back and forth between hospitals on both sides of the bay, and I will go across the Bayway 3 to 5 times a day, depending on how much work I got.
Yeah, I'm looking through some of the emails here, too. Other people that are commercial drivers as well telling me the same thing. I don't know. I mean, I can't look in a crystal ball and say whether they would go to toll the other. I don't think they can, and I don't. But I can't back this up. I'm theorizing. I think I know something, but I'm not speaking with any authority. But once a roadway is built, that's already a free thoroughfare, a roadway built, I don't know if they can retroactively toll that. Could somebody help me? I appreciate the call, David. Number one, I don't think it would happen, but I don't know if. Is that a thing? Can you do that? Can you, once, like, for some reason they wanted to toll Airport Boulevard or something like that? They can't just, let me use a technical term, but they can't up and do it, can they? They can't just, I don't think so. I don't think, and by the way, too, somebody also pointed out on a text here, no wonder pirates can recruit so well, their beard policy is far more lenient. Thanks, Rob. It's beard things too much. $3 to $6 for the toll. That wasn't going to be a toll way back when. And then a couple years ago, they started in with there will be a toll, but it'll be, don't worry about it. There's going to be a toll. There's no other way to do it without a toll. And then it's moved up to, there's going to be a toll, and the toll could be between $3 and $6. Look at here. I want to go to Jason in Mobile, because he wants to talk about tolls and beards at the same time, Jason?
Yeah, that's it, man. Sean, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. What's up?
Oh, man, not much. Look, I'm a U.S. Marine.
Thank you.
You're absolutely welcome, but I kind of think it's funny, the beard issue. A beard is like a reward when you get out of the Marine. It's kind of like when people grow their hair out when they get out of the service.
Right.
Definitely not part of the uniform, so, I think the guys still in can stick it out.
Do you think they're pushing this too far, saying, well, if the women in the Navy can have ponytails and we can have beards, or you're saying that's not equivalent?
It's just kind of crazy. I just cannot picture a guy with a beard in a dress blue uniform. I mean, it just wouldn't work.
Very good.
It's a tradition, and we change a lot of things nowadays, but we shouldn't be changing that one.
Well said.
Yeah, and on the toll bridge. Look, I do a lot of work over in Baldwin County, at Orange Beach.
Right.
And so by the time I get over there and by the time I get off of that island, I paid almost $6.
Wow.
And if I'm going to be paying $12 to get all the way over there and all the way back, then, that's just kind of insane. But I was thinking maybe some sort of a locals, discount, like a Freedom Pass, like they have over there on the island. That you can go ahead and sign up for, and there's a separate lane for a Freedom Pass.
So you got to show residency or something, Jason, like that? Yeah.
Right. And that's how it should be, for Mobile or Baldwin County, like I would think, because a lot of the traffic that's crossing the Bayway isn't from Mobile or Baldwin County.
That's what they're going to, I'm sure they're going to sell it to us that way. They're going to say, hey, listen, the local folks will be able to avoid this. Well, just like they always sell lodging taxes, we'll get it from the other people. Right?
That's exactly right. That's what we got to do.
Jason, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for being part of the show, and thanks for your service.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I'm always listening.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, Jason. 1257 FM Talk 106.5. Okay, this from an unnamed texter, but this is, says they can toll a bridge for maintenance cost. Usually there's a monthly pass for those tolls. Well, that's what I'm just trying to figure out. If Hold on. We'll get back to the phone calls in a second. Plus, our buddy Jeff Poore is going to join us next hour. But anybody in the know on this? Like, because David had suggested this idea that they could toll the other. I don't know that you can do that. But I, like I said, I don't have a, other than just a feeling about this, I'm looking for some certainty. If you had a road that's already built, people are using it, can you go in and retroactively toll that road? Come on, I know one of y'all. This is the smartest audience in radio. Y'all know this. Let me know.